Ev was exhausted by the night's activities and probably glad to have us leave her in the hut with the encroaching dawn promising some sort of new day. As we let ourselves down the log ladder to the ground, I was struck by the scene of utter confusion that our activities had left behind during the last frantic hours of brewing the night before. Our huge fire was now only white ashes. The waste from the ahe-making was piled beside it, looking like a mound of beached seaweed. Everything seemed strewn about. This we walked through, shaking the stiffness out of our bodies and stopping at the small stream that crossed the path to splash water in our faces. We had not spoken. It was Dennis who broke the silence. You are wondering if we succeeded. Yes, what happened? Your riding heard on this effect, so what's going on? Well, I'm not sure how, but I know we have succeeded. Let me try to understand this. As we walked on, my own mind was racing with questions, and as we walked along, Dennis' occasional comments were, it burst over me, answers to questions that I was thinking but not articulating. I stopped in my tracks. I clearly formed a question in my mind. Dennis, head bent beside me, began to answer without waiting for me to articulate my thought aloud. I was dumbfounded. Was this it, then, I asked, that he had somehow acquired telepathic powers? No, there was more to it than that. According to Dennis, the bonding of the Harmine into his DNA had given him immediate access to an enormous cybernetically stored fund of information, and this information was freely available to anyone in the world who looked into their mind and prefaced their question with the word, Dennis. The absurdity of the second half of this proposition struck me as utterly too much. But naturally, at his insistence, I made the test. I picked up a small plant growing at my feet and closed my eyes and asked, Dennis, what is the name of this plant? Immediately and without any effort of my own that I was aware of, a scientific name, now forgotten, popped into my head. I tried the same thing again with a different plant, and to my amazement received a different answer. The experiment seemed to secure that something was giving answers in my head, but I could not tell if they were correct or not. I was shaken. When we had left the hut on this walk, I was sure that we had failed, and that we had to talk over revising our approach. I even felt relief, since the obsessive nature of it all had been a strain. But now, as we walked along, and I could hear a voice in my head that was answering, however inanely or inaccurately, any question put to it, I was less sure. Dennis was oddly preoccupied, yet he assured me that his effort had succeeded, and that all over the world the wave of hypercarbolation was sweeping through the human race, eliminating the distinction between the individual and the community, as everyone discovered themselves spontaneously pushing off into a telepathic ocean whose name was that of its discoverer, Dennis McKenna. As I watched my mind and listened to my brother rave, I began to realize that the experiment had indeed unleashed some sort of bizarre effect. Why it was that I was able to make the leap from assuming that we were having a peculiar, localized experience to the idea that we were key parts of a mankind-wide phenomena is an important unanswered question, speaking volumes about my susceptibility to suggestion at that moment. I was quite simply the victim of a cognitive hallucination. That is, rather than a visual experience of something not actually present, a hallucination that is a total shift of the highest levels of our cognitive relationship to the world. The psilocybin-induced cognitive hallucination made the impossible and unlikely seem probable and reasonable. I was becoming flooded with ecstasy as the realization came over me that we had passed the Omega Point and that we were now operating in the first few moments of the millennium. Both of us could feel the excitement in us rising toward the realization that the world was now somehow radically different, totally different, in a fundamental way. Dennis spoke.
So, this must be it. We have not condensed the stone into visible space, but we have generated it in our heads. It does not immediately appear as a visible vehicle, but first as a teaching. The teaching we hear in our heads right now, later. The word will be made flesh.
Flesh. I could only stare at my brother. Who is he, and how is he able to know and do these things? I could only wonder.
Now, Mother and possibly lots of dead people will be showing up soon. Young, he will doubtless come, and Einstein too, and by God, I want to hear what they have to say.
We were embracing each other and laughing. I felt as though I was being led like a little child. For no reason I had ceased to question. Rather, I felt an urge to see other people and feel their immersion in the new heaven and the new earth. As I set out toward the river, I seemed to myself to be nearly weightless. I felt reborn. I felt full of energy and bursting with good health and vitality. Over a period of a few minutes, I had passed from weary, disgruntled skeptic to ecstatic believer. Looking back on it, I believe that for me this was the critical juncture. Why did I not question Dennis more closely? Was I somehow self-hypnotized? Did the unfamiliar setting, the restricted diet, strain, and expectations push me into a place where I was unable to resist participation of a sort in the world of my brother's bizarre ideation? Why was I unable to maintain my detached and skeptical viewpoint? In some sense, this willing suspension of disbelief is the crux of the matter, and, I believe, of many a close encounter situation. The other plays with us and approaches us through the imagination, and then a critical juncture is reached. To go beyond this juncture requires abandonment of will and habit. At that moment, the world turns lazily inside out, and what was hidden is revealed, a magical modality, a different epigenetic landscape than one has known, a landscape become real. The UFO is a creature of this previously invisible landscape. It is lord of the skies of the imagination, able to carry anyone with it who will but play, and then let the play deepen and deepen. Mm-hmm.